It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 255 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week I have a special treat as I talk with Russell Lasalle, the writer and creator of several books, including Old Wounds, Stranger, and Calypso, among other things. We talk about these three books in depth during our interview, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy them, especially the fact that two of them are very short stories, a rarity in the comics industry these days. But I particularly like Old Wounds, which is reminiscent of a Batman story. And we talk about how he creates all these stories and what he might have in store for us in the future. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. There's a lot to get to, so let's get to it. It's great to welcome to the podcast Russell Lasalle, the creator of many comics, including Calypso and Stranger, and an older collection that I really loved called Old Wounds. How are you doing today, Russell?
Terrific. Thanks for having me on the program.
It's good to talk with you. I first came across your work, must be a year ago now. It was Old Wounds that I got, and it's a great book, and we'll talk about that a little later. I'm going to talk about the new stuff first. But Old Wounds is one of these great stories. You know, people say there's nothing left in superheroes, but you prove that incorrect, because Old Wounds has some place to go that we haven't gone before, which I really like. I think it was, I'm trying to remember which con it was. Was it Heroes I met you at, or was it C2E2 maybe?
I think it was C2E2.
Okay, that would make sense.
Yeah, and this past, when was C2E2 this year? March or April.
Yeah.
Was right after the Old Wounds trade paperback had come out. Oh. And boy, has it been a hit. It's been terrific.
Oh, well, good to hear that. Well, I'm trying to change my mind here on talking about this first. But I think where I got the other ones was at Wizard World Chicago.
Yes.
That's where I saw you. And I got the other two, which I like too. But let's go ahead and start about the new one, because I always do it in historical or order like that. And you know, people always say they never, sometimes if they can't listen to the whole thing all the way through, they don't get to hear the new stuff. So we'll start with you out with the new stuff, is what we'll do. Let's talk about Stranger, which is a very much of a Star Trekian kind of story. And now let's talk a little bit of clarity about this. It's called Omega Comics Presents Stranger. And of course, I'm sure I'll fracture Dirk's last name. Who's the artist? How do you pronounce his last name?
Dirk Titi.
Titi, okay, that's good.
Yep.
And it comes from an organization or group called Pop Goes the Icon. Before we get into all this other stuff, talk about who Pop Goes the Icon is.
Pop Goes the Icon is a small press, a boutique publisher, as I like to call them, based in Las Vegas, Nevada, run entirely as a one-man organization by my friend PJ Perez. Hmm. We've been friends and colleagues for 7 or 8 years now, and I kind of had an open door to pitch for Pop Goes the Icon and its quarterly, or somewhat quarterly, anthology series Omega Comics Presents through the years. And I've had, I think, 7 or 8 stories published, different types of stories too, but 7 or 8 stories published under the Omega Comics Presents banner, the most recent of which were Stranger, which came out early this year, and Calypso, which came out this summer.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've got the back page here. And there's all the people, this is obviously like a Starfleet Academy setup, and of course, Star Trek wouldn't want to hear that. This is a spacefaring academy that is out there, and you've got a space station, which is where this academy is located. And on the back cover, it says, "Space is a lonely place, especially when you're the only human girl in your class. Candy feels like a total misfit at her prestigious orbital school. When a mysterious new student arrives, will she discover a kindred spirit or remain feeling alienated among aliens?" Where'd the concept for this come from, Russell?
Stranger actually started as a project that I was going to co-write with my daughter, Meredith. Mm-hmm. Meredith is 14 now, and we were co-writers on the Strawberry Shortcake series that Ape Entertainment put out 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I took the Strawberry Shortcake job so that I could do something with Meredith. She was 9 at the time. Mm-hmm. And just like her old man, she's been bitten by the comics bug. Mm. And we co-wrote 2 stories together for Strawberry Shortcake. Mm-hmm. we were talking about doing another story. We wanted to write something else together for fun. And she had the idea of doing a story about a girl very much like Candy, the protagonist in Stranger, who is kind of beset by a mystery, and she has to make friends and deal with bullies, very much tween or teen angst kind of a story. Mm-hmm. And that story never really got off the ground, but there were the seeds of a good story there, and it became Stranger. And I deliberately kept the names of Candy, the protagonist of the story, mm-hmm. and the stranger who shows up in school, Nika, this otherworldly creature who kind of befriends Candy by the end of the story.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting story, and of course, we did mention a little bit of Star Trek similarity, but there's a lot of dissimilarities between this and Star Trek. Because in this case, the humans are not the most available people around. And not only that, they are not as perfect as Star Trek people tend to be.
That's very, very true. It's a fish out of water tale, except it's not the weird-looking alien who's the fish out of water in a sea of humans. It's a human who's out of place in her out-of-space boarding school. And as you learn in the story, the only reason she's there is that her father works in the IT department. Mm-hmm. So she is at this outer space boarding school and is very much a fish out of water. And she's treated poorly because she's human. She's treated, you might say, subhumanly mm-hmm. because she's human, because she's a weak human as opposed to, you know, a much stronger, much more powerful alien. And she feels very alienated. She feels very much alone. It's just her and her dad. And if you're a tween girl, you don't always get along with your parents. Mm-hmm. And we see that with Candy and her father in this story for sure.
It's really interesting because the father, you know, they can't stay together. She's got to stay in where the academy is. So that leaves her even more alienated. She's got to deal with all the aliens all the time. She eats with them. She's rooming with them and things like that. So as the only human, or one of the few humans on the station, you know, she's got this feeling of alienation, which is, of course, an allusion to an old TV show, as we like to say about
that. Of course.
But how many humans are on that station? Do we know?
You know, it's never really clear. We say that she's the only human in her grade, mm-hmm. which implies that there are others on the station. Certainly her father works in the IT department. There are probably other human students. There is a human teacher. One of Candy's teachers is human. Mm-hmm. But they're few and far between. As you would expect, you know, you mentioned Star Trek. I was very much inspired by Babylon 5 mm-hmm. when putting this together, that, you know, humans have a very Earth-centric view of the universe. Mm-hmm. And in truth, if there is life on other planets, Earth is just going to be one of many, many, many planets. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see a mix of life at a place like a college, like a boarding school. And that's really what B5 was all about and very much what Stranger is all about.
Now, what's interesting, too, about this is that this is not an ongoing series. This is a one-issue story, basically.
Right.
On that.
It's a done-in-one story, which have always been my favorite kinds of stories to write. I like writing self-contained stories. I especially like doing it when they're all-ages stories, like Stranger is. Mm-hmm. And that's been a good selling point for the book. When I'm meeting fans or potential customers at conventions, and I can tell a young reader or parents, I sell the book really well to parents, and say, hey, this is a self-contained story. There is no issue two. You get the whole story in these 20 pages. Mm-hmm.
Which is good because, you know, a lot of the times we would follow her through, you know, through all the grades, and then she would go off into space, and then, you know, she would be all doing all these different things. But the truth of the matter is we don't need to know that. This is a story that is very, you know, within a specific time frame it's happening.
Mm-hmm. And, very true.
And it ends really well. I really like the way it ends is because every good short story still has to do what a good story does, that is move from one place to another. And this character really moves quite a bit from the very first page where she's basically telling us what's going on in our life till we get to the end. And even says the end at the last page, which you don't see in comics very often, to be frank. So I really like that about that. Did it take a lot of work for you to put this together? Was the story pretty much well-formed, but when you and your daughter worked on it at first, or did you have to do a lot of shifting in order to make
it? You know, it was a bit of a struggle. When Meredith and I were initially doing the story that led to this, the piece was called, and this was such a great title for a story, the piece was called The Girl with the Temporary Dragon Tattoo. and it was going to be a mystery, and it was going to be Candy and this girl Nika, and they were going to solve a mystery in outer space. And that story never really materialized. It had a great setup and a great title, but I couldn't figure out the second and third acts. And then I started working on what became Stranger, and the story really came together very easily. I knew what the setup was. I knew who the characters were. I knew what the dramatic tension in the story was going to be, that it was going to be about isolation, that it was going to be about dealing with bullies, that it was going to deal about that feeling of alienation that so many tweens and teenagers and adults too, so many of them feel, that I certainly felt when I was that age. Mm-hmm. And putting it in a science fiction landscape makes it a good sell as a comic book. Mm-hmm. I also knew immediately that I wanted to work with Dirk as the artist, that I wanted him to be my creative partner on the book.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Because did he design the aliens as far as things go? Because
yes, he did.
Okay, because I was wondering whether you had a hand in it or whether he did all that. Basically, you saw them for the first time when you start seeing pages?
He sent me some character designs, and I loved them. I had suggested, to a very limited extent, what some of the characters might look like. Mm-hmm. The antagonists in the story are two boy aliens, and if my memory is right, I had very loosely described what I wanted them to look like, that I wanted one of them to be kind of a ferocious lizard creature, and the other one, I think I wanted to be kind of a wilder character. But down to the uniforms, down to the look of the space station, that was all really Dirk. I think I might have sent him some photo reference on what a space station could look like. You know, if you were going to have a boarding school, an orbital boarding school, what would it look like? And I might have sent him some photo ref. But the costumes, everything else, he came up with all of that on his own.
Wow. Because it's a really interesting book, and I really love the story. I don't want to give away too much of it. But if somebody wants to get a hold of Stranger, how do they do that? I noticed there's popgoestheicon.com on the back cover. Are there other ways to get a hold of it, like maybe see you at a convention?
There are. I do about 10 conventions a year, mostly in the Chicago area where I'm from, but throughout the country. Mm-hmm. You can order it directly from the publisher at popgoestheicon.com. You can also get it at Comixology and other digital comic sites.
Oh, good. Because I have to say that Comixology is getting to be a way to catch up on things that you may not necessarily be able to access. If you can't get it in paper, but you really want to read the story, you can go to Comixology and download it there. And there are a lot of people who are telling me now they prefer to go Comixology because the color on the screen is a lot more pronounced, shall we say, than on a piece of paper. So
it's the magic of a computer screen.
Yes, this is the amazing thing. Of course, if you want to adjust it, you can. You can adjust the paper colors and
yes.
stuff like that when you do that. So that's good. So, of course, everybody's going to want to know, are there going to be any kind of a follow-up to Stranger, like a Stranger 2, or is this totally this complete story and then we're all done with it?
You know, I get asked that at every convention. You know, people read the story and they want to know more about Candy. They want to know more about her friendship with Nika. And I'd like to do another story about these characters and the world that they live in, but I haven't spoken to Dirk about it. And I know he's at work on some really cool personal projects right now, but it's something that I hope maybe one day we can revisit.
Mm-hmm. We could. We'd like to see it because it really is a strong character-oriented story, which I always like. I always like a good story that is very, very progressive in the sense that things happen and things change. So I really like that about this story. It, you know, I have to say, especially when it comes to teenage stories, you don't often see a lot of progression in teenage stories. You know, everybody starts out in one way, and by the end of the book, they're still that same kind of person.
I think Candy really undergoes an arc in these 20 pages. You know, I think you're right. There's a lot that happens to her. She starts out feeling one way about herself and her life. And by the end of the story, she's changed. She feels differently.
Which is good. And we change with her. We understand what she's going through. And we kind of feel, because she's not necessarily the friendliest person at the beginning. But then when we get to the end, she has gone through a transformation. We won't say what, because you got to read the book to find that out. But it was a really interesting book for me. I really liked it. Because it's just one of those kinds of books, I think, you know, when you say all ages, some people think it's going to be really kind of dumbed down. But this is not a dumbed down book. This is very much a character study, a growth, you know, on some levels, a coming of age kind of story. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to do in 20 pages, I got to tell you. So I think you did a great job with that.
Thank you. Everything you just said, I think that's also why it's resonated so well with readers. Stranger has been the best-selling comic book that I've had on my table in ages. I sell out every time I'm at a show. Mm-hmm. There are adults who pick it up. There are teenagers who pick it up. There are younger readers who pick it up, especially girls, for whom these characters really resonate.
Mm-hmm. Really cool. You have another book out, and it probably all the same information applies to Calypso as well as it does for Stranger. If you want to get Calypso, you go through Pop Goes the Icon, I believe, and
exactly,
or see what comes. Did you say which next con you're going to be doing is?
The next con I'm doing, let's see. The next con that I'm doing, my last one of the year, is an anime convention in Bloomingdale, Illinois, called Collision Con, and that's Thanksgiving weekend.
Wow. Wow. Do you have a website, by the way, before we leave the subject?
Generally, I use social media rather than running my own website. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/russell.lissau, and also on Twitter at rlissau.
Why don't you spell this out just so people might know?
Absolutely. That's R-U-S-S-E-L-L, and then a period, and L-I-S-S-A-U. And for Twitter, it's @ R-L-I-S-S-A-U.
Okay, see, that's good to know. I always get to this stuff at the end, and people kind of fuss with me when I do it that way every time. So let's move on to Calypso. Why don't you talk about what that book is? That another self-contained one-issue story?
Yep, Calypso was featured in what turned out to be the last issue of Omega Comics Presents. The anthology series is ending. Mm. And Calypso is, once again, a 20-page story, a done-in-one story. The artist on that is Marvin Mann, a guy who I've worked on, I believe, 8 or 9 comics with. I've worked on 8 or 9 comics with him through the years, ranging in a whole variety of genres. We've done short stories, we've done long stories, we've done horror, we've done quite a bit of science fiction. This is kind of a World War II mystery romance. It's about a paratrooper who is part of the Normandy invasion in 1944, in June 1944. And our paratrooper is injured during the invasion and is found and nursed back to life by a French woman who is not at all who she seems to be. And it is inspired very much by the Greek myth of Calypso, who we got to meet in the Odyssey, if you read the Odyssey. And she was always one of my favorite characters in the Odyssey. I always found her to be a very tragic figure. And Marv loves strong women. Marv loves writing stories about powerful women and interesting women. So quite a few of the pieces we've done have featured interesting women either as a protagonist or as a supporting character or the antagonist.
And it's a really interesting story. It comes to a very unusual conclusion, which I really liked. And, you know, once again, I don't want to spoil these things because it's one thing if you're doing an ongoing series, you can often give away some things that are going on in a story. But if you have a self-contained one-issue story, you can't really do that very often because if you pull out one little detail, it's like one of those little puzzle pieces that stand way up high. You pull one piece out and the whole thing falls down.
Yes.
And I don't want to do that to your book because I think both books have been great fun. And so with Calypso, that was a very different one from Stranger, though. Where did the idea for Calypso come from?
The idea for Calypso actually came from the song Calypso, the Suzanne Vega song. I'm a big fan of hers. I have been since the 80s. And was listening to the best of Suzanne Vega, that CD. I was listening to it on my iPod one day. And I was listening to the song Calypso, and I love that song. It's a very sad song. And it's narrated by Calypso, this woman who is living alone on her island and just wants a man to love. She just wants somebody to be with. And it's very, very sad. And it occurred to me that it would make a really good comic book story. And then it was a matter of reframing the Calypso myth in a different time period. I didn't want to do a Greek story. I didn't want to do it in the time of the Iliad and the Odyssey. In what era could we set the Calypso myth and make it a more modern, more relatable tale? And I settled on World War II and Normandy because, like Odysseus in the original story, here we have our soldier, our paratrooper, who becomes separated from his men, separated from his cause, and rescued by this mysterious woman who simply doesn't want to let him go.
Yeah, it's a great story. It ends well, is what I like about it, too. It has a really interesting ending to me, and so I like that. So are you going to do more of these kinds of shorter story books?
I am. In fact, next year, I have four comics scheduled to come out in 2017.
Wow.
One of which is 28 pages, and that's the longest. Mm-hmm. The others are all 20 pages or less. I have two 10-page stories, a 20-page story, and this 28-page story that I'm self-publishing throughout the year. And they're all very different stories from each other. They're all unusual stories. I love doing done-in-one stories, like I said. I love somebody who can walk up to the table, buy a complete comic book story, typically for $5. That's what I sell my self-published books for. Mm-hmm. And they can go home and read the story and be done with it and have the story being over instead of having to feel like they have to come out and buy the next issue or wait for the next issue or wait for, a long, long series to end before you get to that conclusion.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's good for you if you enjoy writing different kinds of stories. Some people want to only do sci-fi. But the other book we're going to talk about here in just a minute is very different from the two we've talked about. So it must give you kind of fun experiences to be able to write in different genres.
It really does. And self-publishing allows that. Writing short stories allow that. When I broke into comics, I broke in as one of the Batman writers. I broke in doing traditional superhero action stories. Mm-hmm. And in those Batman stories that I wrote, predominantly I was one of the writers on a series called The Batman Strikes. Mm-hmm. I did a horror story. I did a romance story. I did quite a few mysteries. Mm-hmm. I got to play with genres within the Batman universe that I really wanted to write about. Mm-hmm. When I stopped writing Batman, when that series ended and I got to do self-published works and independent books, mm-hmm. I really got to play more with different types of genres. Mm-hmm. And doing short stories, as you mentioned, allows you as a writer to experiment as a writer, to test your abilities as a writer, to see if you're good at writing this particular genre or that particular genre. It's also easier when you're doing self-publishing and you have to find artists to work with. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to find an artist to do a 10-page story than it is to do a 100- or a 200-page epic. Mm-hmm. It's less of a time commitment for them, and that means the book is going to come out sooner, mm-hmm. and it means it'll be less expensive to produce and easier to digest for the consumer, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, you've done the perfect lead-in to the other book that you have done, which is not a single-issue story. It's called Old Wounds, and it's interesting that you have a Batman background because there's some of that involved in the story. Why don't you talk about Old Wounds and what the basic storyline is?
Sure. Old Wounds was a 4-issue miniseries that was published in 2015 and is collected in the Old Wounds trade paperback that you've got in your hands and you're such a big fan of. Mm-hmm. It was drawn by John Bivens and published by Pop Goes the Icon, the same publisher we've been talking about. Old Wounds is the story of a retired superhero being hunted and haunted by the ghosts from his past. The protagonist of the story is a man named Michael Lane, who was a costumed crime fighter in the same sense as, say, the Phantom or the pulp heroes from the 1920s, mm-hmm. who were not superpowered but battled crime anyway. A guy like the Spirit, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Shadow. A lot of people make the comparison to the Shadow after reading Old Wounds, and I think that's a wonderful comparison. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who wasn't the last son of a dying planet. He was not visited by strange aliens who had a power ring for him. Mm-hmm. He's simply a guy who was tired of crime in his neighborhood and decided to put on a mask and a fedora and deal with it on his own. Mm-hmm. And Michael, in his career as a costume crime fighter, is injured and has to retire and spends very much the rest of his life as a very sad, very broken man because of it. Mm-hmm. And we pick up his story years later. In the later years of his life, he's in his late 50s or early 60s when we first meet him. And someone is murdering the people who knew his secret identity. And he moves from initially being a suspect to a potential witness to the next potential victim. And he decides that he has to help the police solve these mysteries without giving away his secret identity.
It's a very good book because you always wonder what would happen to these people should they survive being the hero. What happens to them 20, 30 years down the road? And this book answers that question in quite a lot of ways. And, of course, what's really going on was a surprise to me. I really liked it, and of course, I'm never going to even hint what's going on in this, because this, again, this is a thing you need to read the whole book to get what's going on. And this is not a 20-year commitment to find out what's going on, like X-Men or something like that. You've got four issues by the trade, and you get to do that. And one of the things I like about this, too, is that unlike the other books, this is done in black and white, which fits the tone of the story. Why did you choose to go that route?
Black and white was a very deliberate choice. Both John and I wanted to do a story that felt like the pulp books of the 1920s and 30s. We both love film noir as a genre. And some of our favorite comic book stories are black and white, film noir-esque mysteries. Mm-hmm. I think the mystery genre works so well in black and white. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you look at, for example, Batman the Animated Series, it's done in a very 1940s palette that has color, but it very much has that film noir feel, even though there is color to it. Mm-hmm. If you look at the great mystery comics of the 1920s and 1930s, so many of them are done with plain palettes or in black and white. And that was something that John and I wanted to do.
As far as going on with our old wounds and getting to the end, you know, it's interesting to see who survives and who doesn't in the story. And it just feels to me like you had this... It's great when you know where you're going in a story, because you get that sense in the writing. And I'm always kind of worried, because there's some writing you can tell right from the beginning, we have no idea where we're going to end up, and we just sort of happen to land in this place, and it doesn't feel very determined. But Old Wounds feels very determinedly moving towards the end, which I really liked. And I always feel like in a mystery in particular, you had better know your solution way before you start to write, because if you don't, then it's going to have this meandering feel to it. It feels to me like you did that. How soon in the process did you know where the end was going to be?
Pretty early, although the final ending was not the original ending. Mm-hmm. Whenever I write, I usually know what the first act is, where you introduce your characters, mm-hmm. and you introduce the inciting incident, whatever the dramatic incident is. I usually know the first act, and I know the third act, the conclusion to the story, the conclusion to the adventure. And then the challenge is writing the second act. What happens in between, the rising and falling action? Mm-hmm. What is the meat of the story? With Old Wounds, I had the first act. I knew who the characters were, and I knew what the dramatic question was. Who is hunting Michael? Mm-hmm. And what is he going to do about it? Mm-hmm. And unlike most of my other stories, I didn't outline Old Wounds first. I just sat down with the computer and started writing, and I wanted to see where the characters were going to take me. And I was near the end of the second act of the story. Things were building towards a conclusion, and I got stuck for a while. I didn't know what was going to happen next. Mm-hmm. And it was partly because I didn't like the direction that the story had taken. It was meandering and had gone off in a direction that I didn't like. Mm-hmm. So I backed the story up to, let's call it a fork in the road, a point where the story diverged away from where I really wanted it to go, where it kind of went off the rails. And from that point on, I started outlining the story first. I did an outline for the story, so I knew where I was going to get to. I knew what the ending was going to be at that point. I knew the ending that I wanted. Mm-hmm. How can I get from where I am in the story now to the ending? And once I set down that outline, it became a much better story. It was a much stronger story. And the pacing was better. What happened to the characters, I think, was much more deliberate than when I was writing page by page and didn't know where it was going to go. Mm-hmm.
That's so interesting, because sometimes the characters move the story in a better way than maybe even you know at the beginning.
And they did in Old Wounds. The characters were very much alive to me, both the protagonists and the supporting characters. Although I had an outline for the bulk of the story, they diverged from the outline at some real interesting spots. There's a character who dies in the story who I was not expecting to die when I originally created that character. Mm-hmm. There were things that happened, there were conversations that happened in the book that were not as I originally planned them, and it required some rewriting of that outline. But I think that's also because the characters were very human, they were very real, they had their own voices. Mm-hmm. That's one of the ways I can tell when a story is really cooking, mm-hmm. when I hear the characters' voices in my head, mm-hmm. and they're distinct from each other. Mm-hmm. And Old Wounds was definitely a case where the lead and supporting characters, the heroes and the villains, mm-hmm. anybody who's got a speaking line in that story, they were all very distinct characters.
It's interesting because, you know, in the other books we were talking about sequels. What about doing a prequel to this book? Am I doing one of his adventures?
Well, there actually is a prequel of some kind. We call it a prequel. At the end of the Old Ones trade paperback, there's the story One of Us, which was the first story that John and I did together. Mm-hmm. And it stars the detectives, who are the detectives who investigate the murders of Michael's friends. Mm-hmm. There, and this would give too much away, so I'm not going to say too much about it. Mm-hmm. We can't do a sequel. Mm-hmm. And you'll know why if you get to the end of the story. Mm-hmm. I have thought that it would be fun to do another prequel about Michael's days as a crime fighter, mm-hmm. but that's not something I've spoken to John about. I would have to come up with a really neat story mm-hmm. to write about his, you know, his crime fighting, his costume days. But it really wasn't the story John and I wanted to write. You know, we set out to do a story about what would happen to a man like Batman mm-hmm. who doesn't have Bruce Wayne's fortune. Mm-hmm. And that's really important. Mm-hmm. What would happen to him after his crime-fighting days are over? What would his life be like? That was the driving question of Old Wounds. What would his life be like? Mm-hmm. What would Bruce's life be like if he didn't have the fortune, if he didn't have the cave, if he didn't have all the wonderful toys, mm-hmm. and his crime-fighting days ended early? What would his life be like? Mm-hmm. And we answered that question in a way that we were very happy with, in a way we were very proud of. Mm-hmm. So to come up with a story about those superhero days, those crime-fighting days, it would have to be a really special story.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to highly recommend this book. It's a very good book. Once you get started, you won't be able to put it down. At least I wasn't able. I was doing something. I was working on a project, and I started to read this. I had a little break, and I couldn't get back to the project until I got to the end of the book. So,
well, that is wonderful praise.
It's wonderful stuff to be able to read. I love a book that does that to me because there's so many books that I can put down and pick back up again. Oh, yeah, okay, I remember. This one, I had to know what was going on, so I had to get to the end, which is really great stuff. It's just a terrific book. So Old Wounds, to get this book, you go through the same process as with the others? It's Pop Goes the Icon?
Old Wounds is actually easier to get than the others. Old Wounds is available directly at popgoestheicon.com. You can find it at Comixology. It's also available at Amazon and at it can be ordered. I would bet it can still be ordered at your local comic book store.
Mm. I'm looking at a picture, and it looks to me like you've changed covers. The one I have is sort of a darker cover with Old Wounds with sort of a reddish color to the bottom of the words. And yet I see other pictures that seem to have like a striking blue on the top and a striking red on the cover. Is there more than one cover going around with this?
The trade paperback only has the one cover. What you're possibly looking at are the covers of the individual issues.
Oh, that could be. That could be it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, because that makes sense. But anyway, Old Wounds is really good stuff. Really like Stranger and Calypso. So if you're looking for something, especially now the holidays are coming before long, this is the time to go and order these good things. And it might be that your comic book friend might not know these good things as well as some of the rest of us might. So it would be great to give something really good to somebody that is not aware of it. So that's why I highly recommend these good books.
I should also point out that both Stranger and Calypso are included in the brand new The Best of Omega Comics Presents Volume 2 anthology, which is a total of 7 stories, 5 of which are stories that I wrote. And at comic book stores, it's available at Pop Goes the Icon. And from me or any of the other contributors at comic book shows this season.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Now, normally I start with an interview with this kind of thing, but I'm going to end with this since we're going in kind of reverse order. I noticed on Facebook that you recently got an award for your real-life job.
I did.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because
I
think that that's kind of an interesting thing when somebody, because let's just say that your interest in comics, it might have something to do with your day job.
My day job, I'm a newspaper reporter. I work for the Daily Herald newspaper in suburban Chicago, which is the third largest newspaper in Illinois behind the Tribune and the Sun-Times. It's the largest circulation daily newspaper in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. And I won what is known as a Lizagor Award. The Peter Lizagor Awards are handed out every year by a Chicago journalism organization. And I won the Best Breaking News Award for a story that I co-wrote with another reporter named Lee Filas and our editor, Pete Nenny. The three of us worked on a terrific story last November about and this was national news, there was a cop that had been shot, and it was suspected that he had been murdered in suburban Chicago, a man named Joe Glinowitz. And in November, it was revealed that Glinowitz staged his suicide to look like a murder because years of his own criminal activity were about to be uncovered. And he staged his death in September 2015 to look like a murder. It became national news, and there was a manhunt that went on for weeks for who killed Joe Glinowitz. And the Daily Herald was leading that coverage all through September and October. And then in early November, after a three-month investigation, it was revealed that he killed himself.
You know, you can't write stuff like that sometimes. You know?
No, it was an absolutely incredible story, and I was neck deep in it for weeks. One of the reporters I mentioned, Lee Filas, is our criminal courts reporter, and he was really leading the reporting on it. He was the lead writer. I was one of the secondary writers on the Glinowitz case. But we were there together in November when they announced that the whole thing was a fraud.
Wow. So if we see you write a crime story in the future, and it turns out that the policeman actually killed himself, we might know where the inspiration came for that?
You just might. But the daily job definitely influences the comic book writing. I started as a police reporter. I started as a crime reporter when I was working for the Daily Northwestern at Northwestern University. When I got my job here at the Daily Herald, I spent 2.5 years as a crime reporter. And if you're a good reporter, you get inside the heads and minds of the characters that you're writing about, the people that you're writing about. And that means cops, and that means criminals, it means lawyers, it means judges. And in my opinion, the best stories that I've written as a comic book writer have been crime stories. They've been mysteries, whether they be Batman stories or stories like Old Wounds.
Really cool. It's really great stuff. And because I always like to interject and tell people that, you know, the writers on CSI, when it was on TV, used to comb the newspapers to find out stories that had real life happened. And then they would interject some of the elements into their TV episodes. And I'm always fascinated by those kinds of things. And I always say, if you're going to write crime stories, read the newspaper or, you know, at least go on to some sort of a website that gives you those kinds of informations.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Could you come up with some of that stuff? I mean, well, you could, because you're a writer. You could come up with those good things and come up with some interesting storylines. But other people who struggle with storytelling and stuff like that, I always say, read the paper. Do those kinds of things, because you could never know what kind of thing is going to happen in there. And people say, wow, how'd you come up with that?
Yeah. One of my biggest influences on my comic book writing is the writer Brian Azzarello, who also lives here in Chicago. And I'm fortunate to count Brian among one of my friends in the industry. And Brian was asked in an interview once, where do you get your ideas? It's a common question for writers. And he said, I read the newspaper. I read the Chicago Tribune every day and look at the crime stories in the Tribune. And you can't make up some of the crime stories that you see happening in Chicago every day. And not just street crime, but political corruption and just out of control, fantastical heroes and villains who aren't wearing capes and cowls. They fill the Chicago Tribune. They fill the Daily Herald. And boy, we certainly saw that with the Glinowitz case.
Yeah, I was going to say that is, who could ever imagine that kind of an outcome to that?
Yeah.
Well, Russell, you're doing a great job. I love all your good stuff. We'll have to talk again when you get some new other things coming out there next year. Sounds like you've got some other good things in the works and the irons in the fire. So, again, it's Old Wounds, Stranger, Calypso, and go to the website, Pop Goes the Icon, and you can get these good things there. And there's other places we can get good things, too, like Comixology and good stuff. But they're all good stories. You'll really be intrigued by them. And they're not all the same. They don't all end the same, which is a great thing. Some writers do that to me, and I really get mad when I get to that place. But you don't do that, Russell. So I think that's a wonderful thing you're doing.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne, as a man. From flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but it's a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
I
And that's it for this week. Be back next episode when I'll have another terrific conversation with another wonderful comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.
Thank you.